get into the main entree for tonight. It's something that we've worked very hard on.
Okay. So I'll let you begin. Let me just say that I have a lot to say on this topic.
Sure you do.
But I'm going to kick it over to Mr. Dan Partridge.
Thank you. With the coronavirus quarantine, got a lot of free time on our hands. This is what I'm talking about. No sports. This is what I've done. Have I worked out? No. Have I lost weight? No. Have I learned a foreign language, played an instrument? No, no. Have I went anywhere? No. Hiking? Nope. Read anything to improve my career? Nope. Read any books for self-help, meditation, breathing, vitamins? Vitamins a little bit, but I don't, you know.
I really don't know what you're about to do, and you're really driving me crazy with the suspense here.
Well, the point is, what I've been working on is the worst possible festival lineup of all time. And the premise behind this is that Limp Bizkit is headlining all three nights, and they get to invite their friends to Camp Bizkit, a.k.a. Camp Business, a.k.a. whatever else you want to say. So we had some fun, and we listed off a hypothetical yet highly accurate lineup of what bands would play on what day. You know, the first thing about this is I sent it out earlier today to Tom, and this is why Tom is just the funniest guy ever. His first reply is, I knew it was fake because the band lineup times were wrong, because like Avenged Sevenfold be way higher up the list than where they're at. But just
this would be fun. I mean, this is funnier. You got to read off some of the fake ones you actually had, because some of them are so ridiculous. But that's not what I picked up.
We're gonna go through this, but I need to point out, Tom, that that's why you're Tom and you're fucking.
Yeah, what threw me off was that Avenged Sevenfold was too early in the day.
That's what I'm talking about. Who notices that? So without further ado, we're just going to go through each day and talk about what we would not want to see the most for each day.
Before you do that, Dan, let me do like a reset introduction, because this might be its own episode, I have a feeling. So this is the Take the Points College Football Podcast, but this episode has nothing to do with college football. This is our tribute to the nu metal cock rock era of 97 through 08. I'm Tom. I'm here with Dan, Ryan, and special guest Jesus Melverdes. All of us grew up during the grunge era, and we're highly disappointed of the music that followed, but perhaps we've changed our tune in the ensuing years. We'll find out, folks. All right, back to Dan.
Okay, so let's just run through the night-by-night lineup and talk about some low points that are going to take place on the stage. So Friday night, let's get the festival started. Shall we go in order from headliner to first band, or should we go time slot? Headliner.
Well, I guess that's your call. Either way is good.
Ooh, you know what? Where do you go with headliner through? I think that, you know, it just does Limp Bizkit.
I think that makes more sense to the audience.
Makes more sense to Fred Durst. Okay, so Friday night, Limp Bizkit, 311, Papa Roach, Nickelback, White Zombie, Cold, Sepultura, Crazy Town, My Chemical Romance, Fear Factory, A Perfect Circle without Maynard. He will not be there. Orgy, Shine Down, Alice in Chains featuring Mark Tremonti, Chevelle, Insane Clown Posse. There's a Scott Stapp DJ set, so we'll be on the lookout for that. We don't know what that could be. Cold Chamber, Cottonmouth Kings, Coheed and Cambria, Three Doors Down, Three Days Grace, Abandoned Pools, Creed featuring John Pagano, Chevelle, Avenged Sevenfold, and Gridley Page, local cover band.
We've mentioned them, I'm pretty sure, several times on the podcast.
Hold on, I'm gonna point of contention here, and Spillett's with me on this. That one Abandoned Pools album was fucking fantastic. And it was also cock rock. It wasn't cock rock. You guys are both wrong.
It was like industrial.
It was not. No, what? Abandoned Pools?
We're gonna have to go to the tape.
You have the wrong band. You need to go back.
I did not put Stabbing Westward on this list because I thought they were more industrial.
Sometimes
single off that one album was Mercy Kiss.
Hey, Seuss. Sometimes you go to a festival and a band is there. You can tell just based on their name alone, even if the music doesn't fit.
Yes, I believe that whoever booked this festival was only booking on names with Abandoned Pools because they don't belong in that set whatsoever.
So let me offer my thoughts on this.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let me offer my thoughts on Friday, and then we can go around to
please,
others.
Tom, you're the
here's what jumped out. So this is how I knew it was fake, was that, you know, Avenged...
You're confusing Abandoned Pools with Drowning Pool. That's what happened here.
No, I know here what Drowning Pool is already. I just don't know who Abandoned Pools is, but I saw the name, and I figured that they filtered into the new metal category. Whatever. Tom, please continue with your expert advice.
Okay.
What to listen to on Friday.
All right. So first off, here are the questions that came to mind, and then I'll tell you like what stages and sets you want to go see. Number one, you know, the reason I knew it was fake is because Avenged Sevenfold is like the second band right after Gridley Page, local Syracuse cover band, famous for their cover of Weezer's Hash Pipe. But like they would be after Chevelle, for example, for sure. So I got a lot to say about Papa Roach later and Limp Bizkit. We'll save that. 311 would not be one of the two headliners in this specific festival because of, you know, they'd be too soft for the audience that came to this. They'd want to see Papa Roach, Nickelback. My Chemical Romance doesn't really fit at all. They'd be on some like weird side stage. But, you know, I think they'd be worth seeing, like, if you wanted something, you know, a little more toned down, you know, to take a breather before the break stuff, Limp Bizkit closer. A Perfect Circle without Maynard is hilarious. Congratulations.
We can go down a rabbit hole there and say, who's the lead singer of A Perfect Circle now, then?
First off, they wouldn't be A Perfect Circle without Maynard. Like, this circle's not complete.
It would
just be the letter C. Like there's just a missing piece. But anyway, done. I gotta get through this while I'm still thinking of it, and then we can go back. Alice in Chains featuring Mark Tremonti made me laugh because like you don't need Mark Tremonti's a good guitarist. I have seen him live twice.
Oh,
as part of Creed and then as part of what was that other, like, you know, the band that had all the guys from Creed except Stapp. I've seen him live with them too.
Are they playing on Saturday or Sunday, Tom? I don't know.
They are not part of this festival. But anyway, Mark Tremonti is he is like a Ferrari that was only allowed to go 12 miles per hour. Like he's an incredibly talented guitarist who was in one of the worst bands ever, whose all his solos in Creed were like two notes. And then I saw him play and he just shreds, and I was like, wait a second. Like Creed had this guy and like, this is what they produced. So
Tom, I believe you were referring to Alter Bridge.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh God.
I have seen both Creed and Alter Bridge in concert. Thank you very much.
But I'm going to have to see if they can make it Sunday.
But the point is when you have Jerry Cantrell and then you add Mark Tremonti, it's like, you know, it's like, whatever, drafting a position you already have. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
You don't need that.
But at this kind of festival, the more cock rock, the better. If you can have extra cocks playing lead guitar, you got to do it.
That is true.
Swing as many cocks as you can up there on the right side of the stage.
So Insane Clown Posse, rest in peace to the Gathering of the Juggalos, which will not be happening this year. That's a sad piece of news just out today or yesterday.
Or some Figo out for that.
Scott Stapp DJ set. I'd be interested in hearing your guys' thoughts on what exactly he would play, what he would spin. And then Cottonmouth Kings, they crack me up. Three Doors Down and 3 Days Grace playing back-to-back. Seems like a missed opportunity for a super group. Three Doors Grace or 3 Days Down.
3 Days Down's pretty fucking good. That sounds like a real band, by the way.
It probably is.
3 Days Down.
Yeah, it's probably like a Columbus, Ohio local Three Doors Down and 3 Days Grace cover band. It's like we cover all the stuff, all the Three Doors Down, Kryptonite, others.
Kryptonite, that slow song. Yeah. Kryptonite Live.
3 days. We cover so. 3 days grace. We cover Animal. We cover Never Too Late. We cover all the hits. Creed featuring John Pagano. John Pagano's a guy we went to high school with. And I read that, and that was not the one that tipped me off that this was fake. I was actually like, oh, there's another guy named John Pagano. And then I saw Avenged Sevenfold, and I'm like, wait a second. They had several hits, and they're extreme, extreme cock rock. So they would be really high on this list. You know, they'd be like, they'd be in like the second highest font.
Scott Stapp's already playing his own DJ set. Creed needed a lead singer with a religious background, I figured. So, there you go.
So, I guess I'll turn it over to all you, but I am interested in hearing what Scott Stapp's DJ set consists of.
Just mostly just really intense EDM. Just in your face, fucking strobe light beats, him sweating with long hair.
Is it religious? Pants. Is there like, there must be Christian EDM, right?
Oh, there's 100% a Jesus theme going on with this EDM. Yes. There's 100%.
Oh, yeah.
But you like, yeah. You can't tell because the words, I mean, you know, we had Radio 104, or maybe it was Radio 106 here in Hartford, changed to a religious station. And the thing about like Christian rock is it just sounds like rock from 7 years ago. So whenever this happened was, I think, you know, 2011, back when we still listened to the radio, and I just flipped to it one day and I didn't know it had become a Christian rock station. I'm just like, it's, you know, it's 2012. I'm like, what's this, new Incubus? And then they're just like, his power is
exactly. All of a sudden it's like, the Lord is on.
Yeah.
Light.
Well, they never say the Lord or God. They
like,
no.
What the fuck am I listening
no,
to?
They,
hold on a second.
Yeah. Dude, you get to the second chorus before you figure it out. And they never say God or the Lord. They just keep talking about him. He is so powerful. I get my power from him.
With a capital.
Oh yeah, him. It's like, what
oh,
is
yeah, him?
It's like, what? Get ready. Oh, get ready. By the way, this is going to be my episode with the most impressions.
Oh yeah. Him.
But that's all Christian rock. Like they try to sneak it in. So I'm wondering, like, EDM would be like his love, and like you wouldn't know, you know. That was a bad EDM impression. I should have just done Sandstorm.
You're on fire. It doesn't matter. That's fine.
All right.
Okay. So anything else from Friday you want to go over?
I don't, but I would love to hear.
Friday is a very relaxing night, by the way. I did this on purpose. The weekend gets a little bit silly, but I thought Friday was pretty conservative.
Yeah, we'll return to Papa Roach. I have a long dissertation on Papa Roach, which we'll save for the end.
Okay. Ryan, what do you got from Friday night? This is right up your alley.
Oh, man. Well, the first one that I'm hitting up is definitely the White Zombie set. That's where you go to find a wife. So I'm going to a White Zombie first. That's
You'll be grinding one. On Thunderkiss 65.
Oh,
for sure.
Opener and closer.
Oh, 100%.
Let's see. What else here?
Yeah. I am the astral creep.
Have you guys ever seen a band that did open and close with the same song?
I don't think so.
Because
that was the chorus. That was the chorus. I'm pretty sure. Instead of words, it was just yeah.
Actually,
with the cowboy hat on.
I think I did see a band that opened and closed with the same song. And guess what? They're on this Friday night set list.
Oh, because I've seen Ooh. One too, but they're not in this concert.
Oh, yeah. So I saw Three Doors Down in like fall 2000 at the SUNY Geneseo basketball court.
Oh, my God.
And they opened and closed with Kryptonite because it was the only single they had had. It was right when that had just come out. They hadn't even gotten that big yet, and they were still playing college gyms. And
yeah.
They opened and closed with Kryptonite. They only had 12 songs.
Anyone who went to college the same time we did saw one of these bands in a college gym.
I knew it would be bad.
That's a good question.
So I saw Boys to Men at they call it Alive at Five in Stamford, Connecticut, which is the equivalent of like Syracuse's Party in the Plaza. You know, every town has one. And they opened and closed with Motown Philly.
All right.
They know the deal. And Boys to Men has, you know, 6-7 hits, but they know their audience.
Good for
them.
Did
they play Does anyone remember that song?
I don't remember. I was distraught because, you know, this was in like, I can't focus.
I'm going to look that one up.
I don't remember that, but I was very disheartened because this was, I think, 2007 or so. I mean, it was way past the Boys to Men era. And the deep voice talking guy was no longer in the band.
R.I.P. He died.
Well, I did not know that, but you know, they
pour some out for bass too.
I know, but they should have got somebody, even if it wasn't the same. Like they just kind of glossed over those parts and just went back into the singing. I mean, I feel like
Lance Bass joined the band or something,
or
like
just
another
or
bass
just
from another boy band.
Pick a person from the crowd and have them do it. Give them a sheet. Like I could have done it, girl.
Okay, I think it's time to go to Saturday. Saturday is just loaded.
I think yeah.
I hope you're ready because it's a long fucking day. You better get up early and start drinking your Monster Energy and smoking your menthol cigarettes, wearing your jean shorts, attaching the chain that goes from your front little fucking pocket to the back with your wallet on it. You know, I mean, just I mean, the huge one, though, the one from the 90s that goes down to the knee at all times. Okay, here we go. Saturday, big night. Limp Bizkit, Korn, Sugar Ray's 23rd anniversary and performance of Floored, their breakthrough album, Godsmack, Bush, Nine Inch Nails, Puddle of Mud, Filter, Aaron Lewis playing solo, which is going to be just romantic and lovely for the crowd, Linkin Park featuring Scorch, Mudvayne, Slow Dive, Hinder, Seether, Surge from System of a Down spoken word set, Drowning Pool, Chad Kroeger solo, he comes back, you thought you were dope, Nickelback Friday, now they're coming back Saturday, Stone Sour, Blue October, Finger 11, Monster Magnet, Tantric, Lamb of God, Edema, Breaking Benjamin, Alien Ant Farm, Video Drone, and then after Limp Business finishes around midnight, you're going to want to, you know, smoke some meth or whatever you got to do with this festival, and then get ready because DJ Lethal from House of Pain and Limp Bizkit fame is going to come out and blow your mind with all the late night hits from Jump Around all the way up to Nookie. That's the window. So get ready for Saturday. It's a fucking barn burner. Thoughts?
Somebody else can take this one first.
Well, let's first go through the bands I've actually seen live on this list.
Jesus Christ.
First of all, Limp Bizkit, yup. Korn, yup. Godsmack, yup. Puddle of Mud, oh yeah. Filter, you know it.
Of course.
Let's see here.
You've seen Scorch.
Definitely have seen Scorch.
Yes.
I think we got to explain who Scorch is.
Yeah, that's about it. I got a lot of big hits in there.
You may have seen Alien Ant Farm too. They've been around.
Yeah, I think they played the quad at one of the colleges I went to.
Jesus, what do you got Saturday? What are you looking forward to on this list?
I'm looking forward to Space Lord. I'm looking forward to Monster Magnet and hearing some Space Lord. That's a great jam. I don't care what anyone says.
3 in the afternoon. 3:10 p.m. You're getting Space Lord. It's going to
land. When I get my bath, I take it out on the sleeves.
That's right. That's how you sing it in the 90s. And that's why they're part of the festival and they're laying down that afternoon slot.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. You know, I'm going to be excited to see Puddle of Mud. And I'm going to talk about Puddle of Mud here for a quick second.
I like the way you smack my ass.
Yes. In doing research and for recruiting bands for this festival, I did a little internet deep dive on Puddle of Mud to find out some information. Here was my impression of Puddle of Mud. There's some shitty new metal band that was got discovered around the time of new metal. Record company said, sounds good, give me a contract. Wrong. Puddle of Mud, founded, 91. Fred Durst gets a demo tape of Puddle of Mud in 97. It gets a hold of Wes Scantlin, the lead singer, and says, hey, I need you to sign with my record label. And he's like, sorry, bro, I already broke up that band a long time ago. And he's like, well, fly out to L.A. and I'll show you the rock and roll lifestyle. He flies out to L.A., hangs out with Durst. They get a whole bunch of new studio musicians to be Puddle of Mud with him. And they put out a couple albums, and now he's a drunken buffoon. How many airports has Wes Scantlin been arrested in the United States?
Well, I'm guessing he was arrested in the in Phoenix. Is that correct? That's
how
why you
many,
know.
I can pull up his record, but of all in the continental U.S. of all the airports, how many airports has he been arrested by the police in? The number is not zero or one. Take a guess. Anybody?
I mean, I'm gonna go high. I'm gonna go seven because I know
that was my guess.
So
he's been arrested in seven airports is impressive. He's been arrested in five different airports in the United
States.
That's
pretty close.
Since 2001 for a slew of different charges. On top of that, he also had his house foreclosed, broke into said house, vandalized his own property that got repoed. Got arrested by the cops in the act of vandalizing his repoed property. What? I mean, this is stuff you can't make up. So this is why they're playing the 5:45 p.m. time slot here on Saturday night at the festival. So yeah, Puddle of Mud, I'm excited to see his drunken antics. And, you know, I'm really into a spoken word set as well. So Surge is going to have a lot of, you know, Eastern European, Islamic, Hindu, Christian vibes to bring to the table. And I'm excited to hear, you know, what he lays down on Saturday night. So really excited to see Surge and Sugar Ray. But sure, Tom, I'm gonna let you talk about the importance of Floored to this festival and how it was an influence. And how it was a cultural phenomenon.
Okay, so with each progressive day in this festival, I have more and more to say. So I'll apologize in advance because I got a lot here. Number one, let's talk about Puddle of Mud. So Jesus, you have two daughters, slightly older than mine, or your first daughter's like 3 or 4 years older. So when I had a daughter, you know, roughly 4 years ago, you told me something that I didn't pay much attention at the time, but, you know, proved to be very wise, which was that you're going to become a big wuss and you're going to, like, you know, get emotional over things that seemed stupid before, you know, like...
Like you cry at the end of you know, Disney movies, Pixar movies. Yeah.
Right. Like yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, Armageddon, I think now is like the greatest father-daughter story, love story of all time. And there are like, you know, car commercials where like a little daughter grows up and they give her the keys. I'm like, oh my God.
I'll tell you who's the most like evil out of those commercials is Disney. The Disney Corporation is the most evil. They put a commercial on TV where they show a kid growing up, basically like a little girl. They're like, basically like, don't miss your kid's childhood. Show up at Disney World.
Jesus Christ.
That's basically what the message is. The message is like, don't be a terrible deadbeat father. Take your daughter to Disney.
Oh my God.
Now she's 22 and has an alcohol problem. You could have been there for her when she was 8 and put her on It's a Small World.
So
I don't know about you guys, but that's what it's telling me.
They're basically telling you that Epcot is the key to keeping her off the pole. Good. Good to know.
That's the recipe. World. Here's all my money, Disney.
Pretty much. So Armageddon was the weird one that like really hit me that I was not expecting for my daughter, who was a girl. But then when you have a son, I have a 1-year-old son, you know, it's the same thing, but you know, different triggers, I guess. And like, speaking of Disney, there's a new movie they had called Onward that like I was emotionally impacted by in a way that I did not expect at all from like a Pixar movie. But another one is Puddle of Mudd's blurry video where he's pushing his son on the swing. And it's, this is one we made fun of so much back then. And then I talked with our friend Jeremy, who also has, you know, 2 boys, and he's like, yeah, you know, I may not be a huge fan of Puddle of Mudd, but the blurry video gets you. There's I joke about them as like fatherhood songs, you know. That's like you have to like, cause they're about like having a son, like Arms Wide Open and Blurry and like a Simple Man. So that's my like fatherhood mix. So
playing TCZ for your Creed love. You loved them before you had a kid.
Anyway, Blurry is, I'm saying it's our generation's Cats in the Cradle.
The Cats in the Cradle.
Yusuf Muhammad.
All right. Godsmack, Bush, I like, so I got nothing bad to say. Nine Inch Nails, I like. Those bands are too good for this. Aaron Lewis, solo. Oh, you better believe, living in the greater Springfield, Massachusetts area, I've seen Aaron Lewis solo on many occasions at the Allen Street block party. So he's
in Western Mass. You can inadvertently run into a show of his. It's not good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you are in, you know, Northern Connecticut or Western Massachusetts, you could go to like a TGI Friday and Aaron Lewis could just be playing.
Might be there.
You don't know. He's always like the Viet Cong. Like he's always hiding out.
That's a good description.
So I've seen him a bunch of times and I just, you know, we've joked many times about his country phase, which cracked me up. Cause we all know Longmeadow, Massachusetts is the home of country boys. Filter I've seen live. I got nothing bad to say. Linkin Park I've seen live, not featuring classic K-Rock DJ Scorch, but you know, what can you do? Hinder I'm going to talk about later. They're part of my grand theory of cock rock, which we'll get into. Stone Sour is funny that I don't believe Slipknot made this bill, but we invited Stone Sour.
Slipknot's too good. They're not part of this.
I agree.
I will not subject them. Mudvayne, Stone Sour, yes. Name of God, yes. Slipknot, no way. They're going to put 12 guys on the stage. Someone's going to break a leg. They're too cool.
Speaking of,
I believe we actually went to a show where it was Lamb of God opening up for Slipknot.
Yes, it was. Yes, we did. And it was a few days after the passing of Dimebag Darrell, if I'm correct.
Oh, correct.
Rest in peace.
It was an emotional evening. Slipknot had us all take a knee, not for him, but they told us to take a knee so that they could call us all maggots, which I thought was an interesting touch, if you remember. Yeah.
So my daughter has these things, these toys called magnet tiles, which Jesus, you might know about them, but she can't pronounce the word magnet. So she always goes, where are my maggots?
Well, she's apparently Corey Taylor Jr.
She's ready. She's being groomed to be the new singer of Slipknot when Corey Taylor steps down.
Number 7 is going to be her new name, whatever. Like, don't they go by numbers?
Number 7, yeah.
Say it in the metal voice.
Hello, 7.
7.
Yeah. You see her tomorrow morning and be like, 7, it's breakfast time.
Quiet,
just
maggots.
7 from now.
7 is speaking.
Bedtime 7.
Bathtime 7. All right.
This is bad. You're going to do this by accident. Grace is going to yell at you.
Yeah. DCF's going to come and they'll be like, I heard you were using Slipknot references on your child. That's a violation of Connecticut penal code.
You're like, I live in Connecticut. I'm just clearing the stone and leaves. They're everywhere.
We hire people to do that around here.
Well, yeah, they also do that in Connecticut as well. Do you want to talk about Sugar Ray? Or
I just want to give you kudos for a 23rd anniversary performance of an album that was neither their first album nor their most popular album. But it's a special place in my heart. Floored album.
the core of Floored represents this festival. It was not soft. That is, I want to hear that album hard in its entirety, start to finish.
Right. So,
off the stage.
As a you know, former music writer and someone who like played guitar and was in bands myself, I really hate the term like sellout. You know, I feel like that has a specific meaning, and just because you don't like someone's music, they're not necessarily a sellout. However, I do make two exceptions to this rule, and Sugar Ray was a hardcore punk band who had an album Floored that was, I believe, 10 hardcore punk songs, and one song called Fly, which became a huge hit. Their next album was like 2 hardcore punk songs and 9 songs that all sounded like Fly with acoustic guitar. So I will say, you know, they realized who their audience was. We'll put it that way. And then the Goo Goo Dolls had a similar turn as well.
Oh my God.
Smash Mouth too.
Smash Mouth. Oof.
Yeah. There were a few bands of that.
Alternative for this festival, by the way, they got a pass.
No.
They were deemed too soft. They would have gotten eaten alive by the Juggahos.
Sunday.
You gotta close the festival in style, and that's what we did here at the first and last annual Camp Biscuit.
This one's so good.
Sunday.
You're just gonna hear me laughing the whole time.
Sunday, Limp Bizkit, Disturbed, Kid Rock featuring a Joe C hologram, System of a Down, POD, Lit, Mama Roach, a Papa Roach cover band featuring Amy Lee from Evanescence on lead vocals. Let me clarify that. Nonpoint, Zach De La Rocha's slam poetry reading, which is gonna be just amazing. Power Man 5000, The Bloodhound Gang, Deftones, Wes Borland, what a musician he is doing a solo set. Saliva, Seven Dust, Days of the New, Ministry, Trapped, Taproot, Aaron Luz covers Pearl Jam, Econoline Crush, Lifehouse, Buckethead, Buck Cherry, Five Finger Death Punch, Evanescence, and Earth Crisis will be there as well. Jesus, I know they might be the first band to play on Sunday, but tell us a little bit about your experiences with Earth Crisis over the years.
Well, there was one specific encounter I've had with Earth Crisis. It was the K-Rockathon. It was probably like 1999.
The one where Foo Fighters were scheduled to play and they dropped out and they replaced them with Lit.
Correct, which was even the biggest scam of all time. I don't think Foo Fighters were ever scheduled to go to the K-Rockathon. I still to this day believe that's like a Fyre Festival documentary should be made about that. But anyways, let's move on. That was Fyre Festival controversy right there.
Hang on real quick. Fighters did come back in the fall and played a show in October at the Landmark. Because I was local and when going to college there, I got lucky and got 7th row tickets with my uncle. Queens of the Stone Age opening for Foo Fighters. I was 7th row dead center for that. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, but that was just the second off concert. They were never playing the festival to begin with.
Yeah, that's 100%. The makeup show.
The makeup for the K-Rockathon
was better acts, probably cost more and had greater attendance.
Yeah, I digress. Anyways, that K-Rockathon, you hear of a band, none of us, I don't think, knew who Earth Crisis was at the time. So we were thinking, Earth Crisis, this is probably like, maybe possibly a folk band? Who the hell knows? Like, what are they going to sing songs about the Earth? I have no idea. You see a guy come out that was probably about maybe 5'2 at the time. I don't know. He was a tiny dude. A bald guy comes out and you're like, what the hell kind of music is this? And all of a sudden, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, destroy the machines that kill the forest.
Yes.
And I was like, holy shit, this is save the earth hardcore music. This is a genre that is, they're a band one of one.
In Earthcore.
Earthcore. Correct.
Earthcore.
There is one Earthcore band on Earth, and that is Earth Crisis.
That's it.
But yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, personally, Sunday, I mean, I'm looking forward to a lot of things. I'm looking actually forward to a small known fact. There's a back-to-back artist playing Buckethead and Buck Cherry. I'm excited for both of those. Buckethead, if you don't know, go on Spotify, pull up Buckethead. He's got more music on there than anybody. He puts out like 30 albums a year. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
He's supposedly like an amazing guitarist, right?
Probably, but it's just like a bunch of like corny metal shredding. Pull up on Spotify, Buckethead, and look at like, you'll see 1 year and be like, oh, he put out 50 albums of him just like soloing, like but Buck Cherry brings me back to my high school days of seeing Buck Cherry at the Lost Horizon. They thought that they were a combination of Guns N' Roses and the Rolling Stones, and came on stage in front of 235 people in like leather, in like a sequin gown, in like a robe. They looked like they were literally 25 year rock stars, but they had one fringe hit at the time. So looking forward to seeing what they have to come up. Tom, or no, you know what?
I need to go last, because I got something to say about almost every single one of these.
Ryan, what would you like to see on Sunday?
I would like to see my boy, Joe C. I haven't seen Joe C live since 99. So
no one's seen him.
Nobody's seen Joe C, but I saw him live in 99. I got to see Joe C live with Kid Rock. So yeah, it would be nice to see again here in 2020. And I don't know, Bloodhound Gang. I want to see what they're up to these days. And then other than that, Mama Roach is pretty intriguing to me. I'd like to see how they put their twist on things.
Mama Roach. Amy Lee, gonna hold it down on vocals. Tom, Sunday at Camp Biscuit. I know you're up early drinking Natural Light, getting ready for this set. You tell me what you're going to check out and why.
Okay, first off, this is a Bud Heavy day for sure.
All right, Barb Red's Bud Heavy.
All right, I'm going to go through this, and I need all of your input. yeah, I mean, Kid Rock, we saw him in 98 at the Lost Horizon in DeWitt, right, with Joe C., and that was when he had one song, which was not Ba Wada Ba. It was I Am the Bull God.
And, best song still.
Yeah, and he was pretty good. I mean, he went around and played all the instruments. He was pretty talented. You know, I thought good things. I did not foresee where he would go and the heights to which he would climb.
No.
It was good at the time. System of a Down. Got not much to say about them. POD, we saw Fuel, Buck Cherry, and POD in that order. POD was the opener, with Buck Cherry the middle, and Fuel was the headliner. That was also at the Lost Horizon. And then the joke was like, if that show happened, you know, 3 years later in, you know, 2002 instead of 1999, the order would have been exactly flipped. Because Fuel basically had like one more hit after that, and then POD actually became the big band out of all them. POD was like maybe my least favorite band of this genre, of like all this lineup. They're the one that I like genuinely don't like, and like not even in a comic way. Lit, I'll always think of working in the golf course shack when that song was just on 100 times a day, doing those 6 a.m. shifts. Mama Roach, Dan, are you aware that that's a real band, or did you just make that up? Okay.
We made it up, looked it up, saw it was a real band, now made a semi-pseudo-fictional version of that with Amy Lee singing.
Yeah. So as I always say, my three favorite all female cover bands are Mama Roach, Les Zeppelin, and AC/DC.
Yes, AC/DC. Very good.
Zach De La Roca's slam poetry reading. that's a good one. Wes Borland. Do you guys all know the reason he gave when he quit Limp Bizkit? His official reason for quitting Limp Bizkit.
I would like your quote.
I don't know if I have the exact wording, but this is pretty much what he said. He said, "I woke up one day and realized I was in Limp Bizkit, and so I quit."
Efficient.
Saliva, I'm going to touch on them in my, you know, grand theory of cock rock at the end. Days of the New, that one song holds up pretty well. I've got that on a Spotify 90s mix, and so they're not bad. Trapped. The singer of Trapped is now like a Twitter troll, like a pro-Trump Twitter troll who just goes around like, I don't know if you, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. He picks fights with all sorts of people, like unprovoked, you know, somebody who's like a news person, I don't know, like George Stephanopoulos will just be like, you know, Trump's hydrochloroquine thing is proving to be incorrect. And the guy from Trap will be like, oh yeah, well, fuck you. Trump rules. Trump 2020. And then all the comments will be like, dude, you suck. You had one song in 2002. What the hell's wrong with you? And he'll just be like, fuck you. It's better than you. You had nothing.
This is great. That's the funniest look it up. Thing I've heard all month.
It's so good.
That and actually happened recently. Yeah.
Go find
him on Twitter. This is going to be great.
Find the official Trapped Twitter account and go to the tab that says, like, you know, tweets and replies. And it's just him fighting with everybody. And not even like famous people or news people or other bands. It's just like random people. It's so, so good. The Aaron Lewis covers Pearl Jam Made My Blood Curdle. A Connelline Crush. I'll give you a shout out for even remembering them. Lifehouse definitely does not belong on this.
Yeah, they do.
They absolutely do not belong on this. They'll get absolutely stomped on.
They're going to get raped and murdered, but I just, that's okay. I'm going to put them on the bill.
Buckethead. I saw Buckethead live in the 2000 original Guns N' Roses reunion at the XL Center in Hartford. Not bad. That was great because, you know, Axl obviously is famously late to every show. It was a 9 o'clock start time and he came on stage at 12:30. And his first word, he just comes out and, you know, holds his arms out and he goes, "Didn't think we were going to show, did ya?" And then they go into Welcome to the Jungle. So that was great. Buck Cherry. I had a fun joke in like whenever Crazy Bitch came out in, what was that? Like 2005, we would joke that every bar cover band would play them. And I would go to, you know, with friends of mine who weren't as into music or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, bar cover band, give it five songs. They'll play Crazy Bitch by Buck Cherry. And then like, it might be four, might be six, but they always played it. And people would be like, how'd you know that was going to happen? They thought I was like Nostradamus. I'm like, yes, I'm just a genius. It's not that every cover band ever had to play that song by like government mandate. Five Finger Death Punch, they crack me up. Evanescence, yeah. George covered Earth Crisis sufficiently. So, you know, just a shout out to Limp Bizkit. I'll talk about them for a minute at the end, but I listened in preparation for the show. I listened to a lot of this era of music, and especially I listened to like 8 or 9 Limp Bizkit songs.
Oh God.
Yeah. And it's like,
that's dedication.
It's so good, man. It's just so funny. All the jokes we made at the time are just so spot on. It sounds exactly like you remember in your head. It's just so good. And then I love the like the three voices of Fred Durst. You know, he's got the like loud, you know, like rolling.
I forgot about that song. I forgot until you mentioned it.
And so he's got that like deep voice, and then he's got the
and then
he's got the like the talking, you know, the sad talking, the like hell.
What the hell would you want me to say?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, there's that too. Yeah, yeah. And then there's one where he gets like really quiet and sad, and then sometimes he just like says their name, you know, like Limp Bizkit. But it's so good. He's just got like four stock go-to like tones, and it's every song is just one of those with like the same riff. It's so good. They definitely refined a product and repackaged it over and over. But the favorite one, the one to listen to, is the song off Hot Dog. What is it? Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. When he just does the introduction. Keep in mind, like, they had been away for a few years. Nobody was thinking about Limp Bizkit. And the beginning of this song is so good. He's just like, yeah, motherfuckers, we're back. Yeah, we're here with that hot dog flavored water, motherfuckers, up in that chocolate starfish. And everyone, like, no one knew what that album title meant. So they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's so good how he aggressively talks about the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water as if we understand what that's supposed to mean.
Fred Durst, unbelievable.
Just a great showman and one for the ages.
So any closing points on the festival, Tom? How much are tickets for this festival?
10 bands for $10.
I mean, there's like 100 bands, so.
there's like 100, there's a lot on here.
100 bands for $79.95.
So, this is part of what I want to say as my grand closing, but like these bands all still play. And like, this is a festival that absolutely could happen if it wasn't quarantine time, and they all play. Like, this would be basically the lineup for one of those, Rocklahoma shows, or one of, you know, those ones where it's like, they rock so hard that the state is in the name. They're like, they're going to rock the whole state.
Yeah.
This actually would happen, and they charge like, you know, $70-$80.
Rawhide.
It would have to be in a red state.
Yeah, it's like, it's Rock on the Range in Ohio or whatever. But it's like really,
Arizona Rawhide Festival.
But it's funny because it's like it's the music we associate with like, you know, poor working class white people, or, you know, teenagers or whatever. But now all these people are like 40 years old. And they all work in like insurance or finance or whatever. And so the tickets for these are like, well, one of the two. But the tickets are like, you know, $80 a day for these shows. And then, and they're it's like a guy who's a middle manager in insurance who's like 37 years old goes to this, and he's like, yeah, I'll break your fucking face.
Is there going to be camping at this festival?
Of course.
What's that situation going to look like? And where are we holding this?
Oh my God.
I mean, preferably international waters, you know, to avoid legal issues.
That's a good question, Ryan. I didn't even think about where this is being held. This has got to be, this might be like at the old, like, fucking stadium for the Lions, like the old Superdome, like beat down in like shitty Detroit, the old stadium that's no good and falling apart, like Superdome.
I mean, I was thinking like Oklahoma, Silverdome,
the Silverdome, the Silverdome, the Silverback, the Silverdome.
Actually, I think Tom was on the right track.
Rocklahoma.
We're going to have this at the Oklahoma State Fairgrounds. So that way we can have multiple stages spread around.
Okay.
It already smells like piss and pizza free, so it's already good. Crowd's going to feel at home. It's great.
All right, deal.
Middle America, they love it.
Now, Dan, what is the name of this festival?
Camp Bizkit or Camp Business.
It's either one or the other. It's a play on the Disco Biscuits. The Disco Biscuits have a festival every summer where they play all three nights, invite all their friends, hippie bands to play, and it's called Camp Bisco. So Camp Bisco is always a term in fish lore. It's like, oh God, take a look at that wook. He's probably going to Camp Bisco next week. So Camp Bisco has been a term that we've thrown around for a while, and we thought Camp Bizkit was a good play on that, and they could just headline all three nights. So that's how this name came to be.
Well done.
Very good. All right.
Look up Camp Bisco. It's like Saturday night, well, they're headlining, but then like they have the best band names. Those fucking like beyond hippie stoner bands. It's like,
oh, I got you. I know all these bands. I listened to them in college. We got
Jim's Electric, like
Deep Banana Blackout,
Velvet Lights. It's like, oh, okay.
The String Cheese Incident.
Like, Government like, Mule is in this.
Interstellar Cream Cheese. Like, it's like, wait, what? Like, what does that mean? Stuff like that.
The North Mississippi All-Stars.
Interstellar Cream Cheese is definitely, that's a good one.
All right, really got to think about that one for a minute.
All right, let's bring it home then. here is, I wrote out so much, but I want to try to make this a little more brief. But this is, we'll call this the grand theorem of cock rock. So I define cock rock as, we decided it began with Limp Bizkit's Faith in 97. And it ended, I say it ended with the band Hinder in 08 or thereabouts, because they were so far beyond parody that it like that, it just had to end. Like it all became a joke onto itself. The reason we started this idea is because it's the 20th anniversary of Last Resort by Papa Roach. One of probably the greatest song of this genre, I would say, along with, yeah, you know, Drowning Pool Bodies and a few others. So I've been surprised over the last 20 years since Last Resort and all these other songs came out. Their, I guess, staying power. I mean, we talked about all these bands are still around, still releasing singles, still doing bad Nirvana covers, still charging $80 a day. And I think I figured it out. You know how all the people who love mob movies watch The Sopranos and like accidentally learned about like therapy and the human condition and stuff like that? I feel like this was the cock rock music version of that, because we think of these as like break stuff and all these hard ones. But as I went back and listened, I'm like, oh, these guys are like way more sensitive and emo than like, you know, Blink-182 or any of the stuff we listen to. All the stuff is just about like being hurt and emotionally scarred, and like Korn lyrics, you know, talk about like sexual abuse and childhood, Disturbed. I mean, the Disturbed lyrics are insane. We know Aaron Lewis. What? Yeah. 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 Even like a Limp Bizkit, who you think of as like, I did it all for the nookie. I went back and listened to like 9 songs, and almost all the lyrics are just about like people being fake or like getting dumped by the fake girlfriend. And like, you know, you're counterfeit, you're fake, man.
Forgot about counterfeit.
It's like, it's all about, yes, being like deceived and let down by other people. It's very, very, very emo in the lyrics. And fake. So, my,
I totally forgot about that fucking song.
Oh, you forgot about that one.
Bit.
So
it's getting late tomorrow when I'm driving around and people are going to be like, look at me and shake their head. I'd be like, that's bad. It's a bad look. Continue, Tom.
It's good. Hold up. So I feel like this is the reason this music was probably popular in the first place, and why it's still had like why we still talk about it 20 years later, is because it's like the only way that like a certain type of dude could be allowed to talk about emotions without being like, you know, quote unquote, gay or soft or whatever, you know. This was like, what I say, it was like emo music for dudes in affliction shirts.
Exactly.
And so I believe that is the reason it's persevered. And so why I bring this up is because I feel like we've fallen back in a place where there's way too many like angry, pent up, rageful dudes in our country. Most of them are older and they grew up on like 80s synth. I feel like people our age who are younger, who grew up on this like cock rock, aren't as mad now because they like, they got it out of their system at a mosh pit at the Lost Horizon, instead of listening to like Flock of Seagulls or whatever shitty band. I feel like we need a revival of this type of music for like 56-year-old suburban dudes right now. And this is what can save our country.
You might be onto something.
Thoughts, gentlemen.
Camp Bizkit can kill the coronavirus.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're becoming, you know, we all know we're a very divided country, folks. What can bring us together? Camp Bizkit.
You heard it here first.
That's the thesis for tonight.
And all, by the way, this is good coronavirus quarantine music, because like I said, all of the lyrics are about, like, either they're about, like, your mental health going crazy, or they're just about, like, I can't pay my rent, I hate my job, I got a shitty job, I lost my job.
All, you know, applicable.
Yeah, they're all applicable to the current situation. So.
New metal. Unbelievable. We had grunge, we had awesome, you know, alternative early 21st century stroke stuff, and then new metal right in the middle of it.
But I think it's becoming, like, the best for comic value. Like, I still talk about it. I still make jokes about Disturbed song and Godsmack. And I probably will be like an 80-year-old man joking about, like, you know, down with the sickness. Like, you'll see me, you know, 87 years old, actually on my deathbed being like, ooh, wah, ah, ah.
Ooh, ooh, yes, yeah, of course.
Fellas, I'm down with the sickness.
That's what you say. And then we'll, you know, maybe take you seriously. But that's how you got to start to gain our attention.
That'll be my code for when it's actually, like, it's actually the end.
Serious? You tell me, like, guys, I'm down with the sickness. Be like, oh, fuck, Tom ain't playing.
Oh, yeah, that was, like, my safe word. Set up one last Zoom call. One last pod.
Jesus almost had to cover that song in college, but it didn't quite work out.
No, we said no to that. There was a band revolt, and immediately when it was suggested by one member, it was shot down immediately. Oh my God.
Disturbed. The end.
Amazing.
The end of music. All right. What are we doing to wrap up this podcast? What we got tonight?
Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus, you're our guest. Anything you want to talk about before we head out?
No, it's been a pleasure, guys. I mean, you know, right now it's a tough time in our history of humankind, and it's good to hear from you guys. Good to talk about things besides the coronavirus. Good to talk about cock rock for once.
Yeah, I mean, for those listening, like, that was the point, was to talk about something else. Obviously, I hope everyone's doing well, and I hope you're, you know, giving money or whatever. Do whatever you can. Anything else to add?
No.
Wait, I got one thing to add. You asked earlier what skills we've picked up. I got a skill. I picked up Tiger Woods 2014 on PlayStation 3. I've gotten really, really good with that.
That could be useful. You could hustle people for MREs or something.
Look, I could be reading a book or, like, learning Mandarin. No, but I'm getting really good. I hit 2 hole-in-ones in, like, the last week.
So, I bought some fishing equipment, Tom.
Oh, really?
I bought some rods. I got a tackle box and some supplies. And next week, I'll probably drive out. There's many lakes out here. I'm going to go fishing. They got some bass, some panfish, some walleye. And I'm going to get back into fishing, I think. I'm transitioning into becoming a middle-aged man. I'm getting back into fishing and, like, smoking meat and playing golf. Like, I really am. I'm really locking into really where I want to be in life in terms of my activities. Gambling, smoking meats. Yeah. Everything's pretty good. And honestly, this is going to be a hot take. I'm actually okay with the quarantine. Not much else has changed for me. I don't go to clubs. I don't like hanging out with people. I don't go to bars. You know, I like when I go to the grocery store now and someone's not right fucking behind me. It's kind of nice. There's no rush hour traffic anymore. There's no pollution in the sky in Phoenix, which is rare. I think there's going to be some hidden positives coming out of this thing. So that's my glass half full thing on it. But overall,
I agree with that. Right. I hope we don't go exactly back to normal. I hope there's actually some things we take away from it. Like, hey, we could work from home sometimes and it doesn't really matter. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'm okay with most all this.
I think I can speak on behalf of Jesus and myself that there are some things I would like to go back to normal. For example, daycare is being open would be number one.
We need that ASAP.
Yeah, it's yeah. You can
if you're out there.
You can say that because zero kids, Dan. It's
send help.
Hire me. I ain't doing shit.
It's really bad.
Get me come up there. I'll watch the kids.
I would. You have no idea what we would pay you to fly out here and just like live in the basement and watch the kids.
I'll do it
even for like 2 hours a day.
We don't need any masks.
No,
we don't need. I don't need any gloves. I need a fucking nanny.
I honestly, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but, you know, I work at the airport and, you know, this virus was in the United States in January. You know, if it was in China in December, if you've been to LAX and you see the amount of people that fly to Asia every day out of that airport, I don't think people can comprehend what that number is. But I feel like a lot of people already have it, but we'll see what happens here.
Do any of you feel like that? I was sick for 3 weeks in like February, and it was like, I wasn't really sick. Like I wouldn't call it a bad sickness, but it was like, it felt different than any other illness I ever had before. And it went on 3 weeks, which I'm usually sick for like 2 days and then I'm better. And like, I don't know what it was, but I would like to get that test and just find out.
So would I.
Dude, I'm convinced. Same thing in February. Same exact thing. I was sick for a week. I had a fever. Felt sick to my stomach. I had a sore throat. There was one day that I tried to go for a jog. I tried to go around the block and I was just like, I can't do this right now. And then it was like, wait a minute. This is all like, I mean, the coronavirus existed. We all knew about it. We all knew it was in China, but it was a thing in China.
Yeah, but
China.
We didn't think it was
thing in Asia. Yeah. Exactly. So my point is like, I think we all had this and we had it earlier than we actually thought.
I mean, there were some new tests that they sort of projected, but they said like up to 20% of New York City might have had it already, and a lot of people just don't know. So I would like to get that test, the test that tells you if you already had it and had the antibodies. Because if you had the antibodies and you can go out right now and be fine, you are like a superhero, basically.
You could go lick all the produce you want.
You can do anything. I mean, I would actually do like good stuff. You know, I'd go and volunteer and do some of those, you know, I'll hand out some groceries to old people and stuff, you know, with
sorry.
Kids.
I was thinking about being destructive.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll be malevolent. You know, I'll be benevolent and we'll offset each other and have a net zero.
Apparently result. You're the superhero and I'll be like Bane.
All right. We're not going to get better than that.
All right.
Thank you all. Thank you, Jesus, for guesting on this. And everybody, stay safe.
Go Bills.
All right, go Bills.
All right, guys.
Counterfeit.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation. No.